Hi, I'm Guy, and I'm drinking an ice-cold pint of Guinness.
I'm Alex, and I'm drinking a Peroni Grand Reserva Double Malt.
It's almost time at the bar.
And this is the Last Call Podcast. This week, like every week, we'll be discussing a range of topics, both pub-related and otherwise, in the signature fashion of people who have just got to the last drink of the night. We're very happy to have you with us. Let's dive right in. So first things first, how are you doing in lockdown? Have you started to miss going to the pub yet?
I hate it. I hate the fact that it's another 3 weeks. I miss pub quizzes, even though I complain a lot when they're on. I think they take far too long, but I miss them a lot. No, I'll tell you what really annoys me about pub quizzes, right?
Go on.
The person comparing, or quizmaster, sorry, is always someone who is a failed actor or comedian, and they're not funny.
Or they think in their head that they have some kind of natural actorish comedian charm. I'm with you there. And they're too fucking hard these days. They're too hard. I don't want to go to the pub to be told how stupid I am. I'm fully aware of that.
I'd like them to be shorter, but I do miss them very, very, very much. And I really miss, I know I'm drinking a Guinness now, but I really, really miss Guinness from a tap.
Oh, you are on the cans.
I'm on the cans. No, I've got a fucking great system here. Let me just pour myself another Guinness from the tap. Where else would I get my Guinness from?
Right. I saw you pour the can into the glass before we started recording, so I have that knowledge. I was just simply giving our non-existent listeners a chance to understand what was going on. You can get Guinness in bottles.
That's a very good point. I apologise.
Well, there we go. This has gone well off the rails already.
What do you miss about pubs, considering you run one?
Well, I obviously don't miss working yet, enjoying the break, but I very much miss the last kind of hour of the night where everybody's a bit buzzed, some people are a bit too buzzed, and sitting around a table just with a mismatched bunch of friends, having a good old conversation about nothing.
Yeah, and bar snacks.
Oh, and bar snacks, obviously, yeah. While we're here,
yep.
The go-to bar snack.
I'm going to sound really London.
If you say chorizo sticks.
I didn't know they existed. What the fuck is a chorizo stick?
It's like a pepper army, but chorizo, if you follow.
I don't, but it's baked camembert is my go-to snack.
Oh, wow. You mean we're talking bar tapas now. We're talking from the kitchen. I was going to say salt and vinegar crisps. We were on two different wavelengths there.
When I go to the pub, I'm usually with people and I always find someone else to go in on a baked camembert with me. I have eaten a whole baked camembert to myself one time.
I'd like to put a warm scotch egg in the mix. Wow. I think we need to pull up.
Fucking hell. Why do we always get onto scotch eggs? Doesn't make any sense. Why don't we just call this the Scotch Egg Podcast?
I think there's a market for that, but yeah, we're going down a rabbit hole here. I can't remember the last coherent thing that we said.
Would you like to know what I've been watching this week?
I would very much like to know what you've been watching this week, Guy.
Tiger King.
Now I need to get into Tiger King. I'm late to the party on this one.
Holy shit! You need to watch it. It's the most cooked thing you'll ever see. It's basically redneck. It's just redneck is the, how do I even go about explaining it? Joe Exotic runs this zoo down in Oklahoma, and he's got like something like 227 wild cats. Here's a little fact for you, a little knowledge bomb. There are more big cats in America than there are in the wild. There are 10,000 cats. Big cats, tigers, panthers, leopards in America, 10,000 big cats in America, only 4,000 in the wild today.
Did you have that fact in front of you? Did you have those numbers in front of you, or were they just off the top of your head?
They are from the documentary. This Tiger King guy, he was quite chill at the start, and then it just escalates and escalates. But there are some, I won't go into too much detail if you're going to watch it, but there's some fucking dickheads. This documentary, you watch it and it just goes from more insane to more insane. It is crazy.
Would you like to know what television I'm recommending?
Can I guess?
Oh, you can guess. I will give you £100 if you can guess in three guesses the TV show that I am recommending.
Hell's Kitchen.
No, although I have been watching Hell's Kitchen.
Time Team.
No. Weird guess. Love the love the energy. You're thinking outside the box. I've never seen an episode of Time Team.
Oh, I don't know. Great British Menu.
Never heard of it. No. Five Guys a Week.
Oh my God, I've heard of this.
So I fell ass backwards into this. I had no idea it existed. It happened to be on the TV while we were watching. I was hooked. I went back and watched all the episodes. It is a hilarious premise, executed hilariously by hilarious people. You aware of the show?
Yeah, I get a real come dine with me, fall in a bed vibe.
Similar kind of format, yeah. The idea is this. You take a woman, you invite five guys who match her kind of type to live in her house with her, and each day she asks one of them to leave until there's two left. They sit down for dinner and she picks which one she wants to have a relationship with. It is fucking hilarious.
That sounds horrible.
They have a whole mixture of women on there as well.
Good.
It's an excellent show. Really easy to get invested in the characters because they're so ridiculous and they're edited in a way that makes them seem even sillier. If you're looking for crap TV to just sponge into your brain to pass some time, highly recommend Five Guys a Week. So that's our recommendations for the week from Guy Tiger King on Netflix and from me, Five Guys a Week on Channel 4. Also available on all four.
Well, I think it's now time for some tales behind the bar. Alex, what have you got for us?
So I got a handful of tales from behind the bar this week. I have been going through the internet having a look for some of the best bar stories out there and asking people to get in touch if they have anything. Let's start with one from Expandong 94. Okay, so I did not review the usernames on any of these.
Doesn't matter. Keep it going.
All right, he says, or she, I was working on my own, and the bar was completely empty aside from one semi-regular customer. He was really drunk and decided he wanted to play the piano. We didn't have one, so he went home, got his keyboard, and brought it into the bar to play.
Why? Why
I ended up
do
staying
that?
Open because I felt bad.
No. The minute he left to get the keyboard, he locked the door.
It's fairly clear. He says, completely empty apart from this one guy. So it's this poor bartender and one regular. And he goes, I want to play the piano. And we said, oh, sorry, so we don't actually have a piano. Not a problem. And then he wanders off, at which point...
Why? I just don't... Oh, I just can't...
It is a weird thing for someone to do.
What's next? Who we got next?
This is from Garth Olamude. I once had an old man come during a very quiet shift, asked to use the loo. I pointed in the direction and carried on with what I was doing. About 30-40 minutes go by and I suddenly remember that I hadn't seen him leave. I hurried to the toilet. When I arrived, the toilet door was locked and there's no answer from inside.
He's fallen down the toilet.
Fearing the worst, I grabbed the toolkit and got the door open.
Grab the toolkit? Kick the fucking door down. What are you doing? My mic fell off the desk. What are you doing? There's a man, like an old man, who's been in there for 30, 40 minutes. He's probably stuck. And you're... Oh, better go get the Phillips. No! Kick the fucking door in.
Gartholomew continues. Fearing the worst, I grabbed a toolkit and got the door open. Inside were a pair of shoes and socks on the floor with a phone on top of the toilet.
Where has he gone? That toilet is a portal to another dimension.
I freak out, run around the building searching for the guy Eventually, I have the brainwave of checking CCTV. Found out the guy had run out of the toilet with no shoes or socks and out of a fire exit. Never did find out why or how he relocked the toilet door.
I just dropped my drink.
How much of your drink did you drop?
Oh my god! Oh my god! I don't know what just happened. I'm so shocked. Why did the man leave his shoes and socks?
Are you okay?
I dropped so much. I'm gonna have to change my t-shirt.
As you can hear, we have had a slight issue of the drink spillage variety. We will take a short break now while Guy sorts his fucking act out. When we come back, we have another tale from behind the bar and your picks for desert island drinks.
I'm just going to go for a wee quickly as well.
All right, we'll take another short break while Guy goes to the toilet. As you can see, he's become quite a disruptive force here at the Last Call podcast. Please enjoy this silence.
Oh, wow. I can only apologise.
And we're back.
Sorry about that. I apologise.
You had a bit of a moment there. Is everything all right now?
Yeah, I think so. I just can't... I just... What happened? Why did he leave his shoes and socks?
And that shock prompted you to spill your drink all over yourself.
Yep.
Well, unfortunately, that's the end of Gartholomew's story. We will possibly never know who this man was or what happened. But I do have one more tale from behind the bar for you. And it's a doozy. This is from Telluride Teddy. And he has this to say. I work in an upscale restaurant. There's a guy approaching toddlers throughout the dining room and asking them, do you like dinosaurs?
Ah, great.
Already a massive red flag.
Yeah, definitely.
He continues, after three or four of these innocent enough encounters, he suddenly jumps onto a table, squats down low, puts on his T-Rex arms, and starts screeching like a Jurassic Park velociraptor.
Well, at least he's not a pedophile.
Yeah, that would have been marginally worse.
If I was there... And he was going up to kids and being like, do you like dinosaurs? I'd be like, oh shit, what is this? And then he jumps onto a table, acts like a T-Rex. I'd be like, oh, thank God.
So that started out as I was quite concerned that story was going to take a dark turn. It didn't. It took a weird turn. And I don't know whether that guy needs help or whether he's just a real... T-Rex enthusiast?
Well, even if he is, don't do that. Why have you got to do that?
No matter how spot on your T-Rex is, there is a time and a place. Upscale restaurant full of toddlers, not the place.
No. Yeah. It just bothers me, people who do that. People who, like, this is probably, this is a bit different than jumping on a table and pretending to be a dinosaur. But people who make a fucking scene at the bar, especially living in London, so you've already waited 15 minutes to get to the front of the bar, and then there's some jack-off arguing with the bartender or, you know, usually about the amount of ice they put in the drink.
I 100% agree. And when it comes to the issue of the amount of ice in a drink... If you want to get picky about how your drink's prepared, don't order a Jack and Coke. That is not a picky man's drink, so don't start being picky with me. If you really want to get picky about how I'm making your drink, please don't order a house spirit and mixer, because you'll get it as it comes. That's before we get into the fact that ice keeps ice cold, and actually your drink will be stronger if it has more ice in it. People are just generally just fucking appalling at being at the bar. I don't know. So many people have no idea what the fuck they're doing and how to do it without being rude or pushy or difficult or not as funny as they think they are.
And they take, and it's always the guys that are arguing about ice. They make a real fucking point of it. They get their drink, they've lost the argument, and they just get the ice out of the drink and pour and put it over the bar. And I'm like, you're a tool, mate. You've just spent £7 on that drink. And you've literally scooped a quarter of it out.
And now you've got less ice in your drink, so the ice that is in there isn't going to stay as cold for long. It's now going to melt. Your drink's going to get watered down. And it's not going to be as fucking cold. So who's the real fool?
Exactly.
Feels like we need a segue.
We do.
Those are this week's Tales from Behind the Bar. We are always on the lookout for your weird or bizarre experiences from the hospitality industry. If you do have any, you can send them to us at lastcallinbox@gmail.com.
Are you aware of the BBC Radio 4 programme Desert Island Discs?
I am aware, and I'm a huge Kirsty Young fan.
Where obviously people talk about what music they'll bring to a desert island. Well, we are going to do Desert Island Drinks. We asked, we put up on our social media asking people what one drink they will bring to a desert island, which they just drink the whole time they're there. And what, I know you've got a few responses, Alex, so what have you got?
I have got a few here, so I'll start going through here. I've got a couple of votes for whiskey. They have not specified, they've just said whiskey. A couple of votes for rum, quite a few people going for cider. I have one here, espresso martinis.
Oh, all right. No.
They've said after that, it sharpens the mind.
Why do you need your mind sharpened on a desert island?
Does it sharpen your mind? Does an espresso martini sharpen your mind more than having a coffee with no alcohol in it?
An espresso martini does two things for me. Gets me drunk. And costs me a lot of money.
Yes, God, it really does. And when you think you're paying for, at best, a shot and a half of vodka.
This person is, I don't know who they are, is clearly that person who's at a, when they're at a dinner and everybody, you know, finishes their dessert. Espresso martinis? Guys, let's get espresso martinis. And it's like, we've just sat with you for 2 hours having a dinner. We know you. You don't need to pretend to be sophisticated in front of us. No, I do not want an espresso martini. Espresso martini on a desert island? Stupid. Really stupid.
I've got another one here. Someone has written ice cold lager, something like Singer or Sapporo.
Why I like that is because whenever you're in a foreign country, Singer is that one. You're looking at the taps and you're like, I don't know what any of these are. And then you see Singer and you're like, I know Singer. One Singer, Popovore.
Let's have a look. I got a couple more beer recommendations here. Chieftain IPA.
That's what I like. I like the answers of obscurity.
If you want obscure, then I've got to give it to this answer here. They have gone for Glenafric Brewery Field of Creams, which is a pale ale. I had to look it up because I had never heard of it. I looked it up using Untappd. People aren't aware of Untappd, brilliant social media platform for beer and breweries. It is a cream soda pale ale.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
I have some reviews here. Duncan H. has said, I had this last night. Bloody awful. Tastes as bad as it sounds. If you like cream soda, then maybe you'll like it. This is a classic example of doing something just because you can, not because it's a good idea. Poured it away in the end. Simply vile.
So Duncan clearly doesn't like cream soda. So no. Why the fuck are you drinking it?
Again, yes. Yeah, that seems like a misstep on his part.
I've got no time for people like that. I mean, I haven't had a cream soda in probably coming up to 10 years, and that is ever since I drank a whole six pack and mum yelled at me and stopped buying it.
You've never been tempted since to go back?
No. It's like me and Kit Kat Chunkies. Well, I haven't eaten Kit Kat Chunkies in probably about seven or eight years.
I love Kit Kat Chunkies. What happened with you and Kit Kat Chunkies? Why am I not aware of this?
I got addicted. I would eat four Kit Kat Chunkies.
I think that's a healthy relationship with Kit Kat Chunkies. They're the shit. They're great.
Oh, they're amazing. They're unbelievably Moorish. I just kept eating them, and then I took a long, hard look at myself, and I was like, I can't keep doing this.
Well, to bring us back to the island, I have a response here from our uncle.
Hell no.
Can you guess what Jerry would take to the desert island?
Rum and Coke.
It is rum and Coke. That's all it says. A response here from our mother.
Gin and tonic.
Absolutely correct. I had a guy who I thought I knew pretty well put pina colada. So obviously don't know him as well as I thought. Really had him down as a beer guy.
Out of here. Do not fall into the trap that just because you're on a desert island, you have to have a tropical drink.
Yeah, that's it. You're going to hate it by the end of week one.
What? Pina colada is milk, isn't it?
Yeah, cream.
Ugh.
That'll weigh on you after a while. Pina colada in the sun while you're on holiday? Absolutely. Light up the all-inclusive bar in Alicante with pina coladas by all means. But don't rely on them as your sole source of alcohol on a desert island. You will come to regret it.
Yeah, don't be silly.
Let's have a little filter through and see what else we have got here. Mixed fruit cider.
Yeah, I can get around that.
Somebody has written here, porn star martini, I'm such a basic bitch.
Yes. Yes, you are.
I also have one here that says, vodka. That is from my girlfriend's 12-year-old sister, which I think is cause for concern.
There needs to be a chat. And also, come on. Vodka?
Yeah. Try something. Let's go. If we're doing this.
Someone of your age should be utilizing Skittle vodka. All right? Really easy to make. Bottle of vodka, sling a load of Skittles in there, give it about a day, 2 days. Lovely.
That is, guys, Skittle vodka advice for 12-year-olds looking to spice up their getting drunk routine.
Everyone was getting drunk at like 13. How I feel like 13 is when the house party started. I think the first time I ever got drunk was maybe 13.
I was 9.
Is this Italy?
Yes.
Yes.
Huge parental oversight. I got red wine drunk off about a glass and a half at the age of 9 and then suffered through one of the worst hangovers still of my entire life in 36 degree heat in a small apartment in Italy full of cigar smoke.
If anyone is wondering, a glass and a half, how did a 9-year-old get a glass and a half? The waiter just kept topping you up.
Yeah, it was decided by the adults who were there that I should be allowed a splash, literally a splash of red wine in a glass so that I could toast to my granddad's birthday, which we were celebrating. So I was given the smallest amount of red wine just to toast. And then, yeah, a waiter came around. He was topping the glasses up. He didn't know what glass belonged to who. He was just making sure they were all full. All the adults had long since stopped paying attention to me. And I was just guzzling it back. I was having a whale of a time. I don't remember much of that story. I've had to have it told to me.
I mean, I was 6, so I don't actually remember it happening.
I remember the hangover fairly vividly. I don't have a huge memory of being drunk. But yeah.
The first time I think I got drunk was at a house party on Foster's. Because I think it was one of those house parties where there was one parent there. So you sort of had to be very secretive with your alcohol. So I put Foster's in a Powerade bottle. But the limited edition Olympic one, so you couldn't see what was inside of it. But I forgot that Foster's is gaseous, I guess you call it. And so when I opened it up,
oh no,
the fucking lid popped off and smacked me in the eye. And then, yeah, So I had to deal with no lid for the whole night, but it was Foster's and I passed out by a radiator and there were some older boys there and they drew all over my face.
Classic.
Just going back to Desert Island drinks, a drink that the one response I got, a mojito. That's something we hadn't had.
Now, that is a good Desert Island pick.
I think it's got everything.
It's fresh, strong. Oh, God. Fresh and strong. Was that suggestion by any chance from your girlfriend?
It was.
Elise, if you're listening, that was a excellent shout. Well done.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, bub. What a way to finish.
That's time at the bar.
It's time for us to finish our drinks and head home.
In the meantime, if you have any funny bar stories or any desert island picks that we missed, feel free to get in contact at lastcallinbox@gmail.com.
Don't forget to take your glasses back to the bar, and we will see you next week.